Houston, flight is go.
Pilot golf.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
FDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Good evening. It is Friday night, 29th of April. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. And how is your allergies as the day has progressed?
You know, folks, I woke up this morning with just a god-awful attack of the allergies out of nowhere. Because there's nothing blooming up here in north central Nebraska. I mean, absolutely nothing. But holy moly, it was really quite the setback this morning. I'm feeling much better now, thanks.
Oh, well, that's good.
It wouldn't take much because I felt like absolute crap this morning.
Okay.
My left eye was so raw this morning, swollen up. It felt like it was on fire. I couldn't even look at my computer screen this morning. It was just painful.
Well, this always seems to happen to you at this time of the year. So there's something in the air that's getting to you.
Yeah, it usually happens early spring. And then again, it'll happen probably sometime late summer.
Ah, fine.
I seem to go through it about twice a year. I don't like it. You know, I took a couple of, I don't know what they were. They're for allergies.
Benadryl?
It's some off-brand thing, and it says they're non-drowsy. That's mislabeled. Because I'll tell you what, I took two of those. They're about the size of the head of a pin, these little tablets, these little pills. I took two of them. It just about knocks me on my ass.
Oh, my. Maybe you're only supposed to take one.
Well, I don't know. I took two because it was really bad. Yeah. But I'm much better tonight. I'm tired, but I'm much better and ready for a big show.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I know we got people out there listening and they're wondering what in the world are these guys going to talk about tonight? But before we get into all of that, let's mention what we've got coming next Tuesday.
Well, next Tuesday, we're really getting our space geek on, folks, because we're going to be doing an entire show, a special broadcast, dealing with space. And we don't mean the six-foot distance space. We are talking about outer space.
Yeah, when you say we're talking about space and then you pause, I just automatically, I want to say the final frontier.
No. Well, we are a little bit talking about, you know, what could be in the Star Trek days.
Well, and, you know, to be honest with you, so much of what we saw in Star Trek that was so science fiction at the time is slowly becoming science reality.
Yes.
Remember how foreign it used to seem when they would talk to their computer and it would do things?
Oh, yeah. Now that's commonplace.
I know. I mean, but at the time, it was just a completely foreign concept. Well, that'll never happen. Guess what?
It did.
Yep.
Did. You know, a funny antidote about that. Remember, guys, if you care nothing about space, if you're one of those who think, you know, there's no reason to go out there, just remember, MRIs, microwaves, cell phones, and Velcro are all courtesy of the U.S. space program.
Well, and felt tip pens.
And felt, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they were having all sorts of trouble trying to find something that would actually write in zero gravity, and they came up with the felt tip pen.
Yeah, yeah. And the Velcro, you know, when right. kids are learning to walk, it's like every mother's savior. You know, you just Velcro their sneakers shut. Microwaves. I mean, I couldn't live without my microwave.
Transistor radios.
Yeah.
You know, transistors. And, you know, you think about it, the early computers, you know, we can thank today's computer world for NASA's approach to early computers. Now, yeah, I know the computer aboard, let's say, Apollo 11, the first one that landed man on the moon, that had all the computing power of today's pocket calculator. And I'm not exaggerating. Really did, but yet it was cutting-edge technology in 1968.
Right, and I have a friend whose father was actually one of the first people to work on computers for NASA. At the time, computers were almost a block long.
I mean, it's they hard to huge. Imagine, but
I saw pictures. She showed me pictures of her dad working on some of the very first computers. They were so big and long, literally a small block long. Nothing like what you think of a computer today.
No, they hadn't even conceived of a thumb drive back right. in those days. Everything was stored on magnetic tape.
Right. But we need to tell you guys, we're not going out in the weeds with this show. We're not talking about alien creatures or anything like that. We're talking about why space is critical to our country, to the world right now, and also why certain people are key to our space program.
It's going to be a very interesting show on Tuesday, and I hope folks tune mm-hmm. in for that. We're going to have some fun with it because it's a topic that just geeks Diane and I out completely. So,
yes, especially me. I wanted to be an astronaut when I was a kid, but I lacked one very key ingredient to becoming a NASA astronaut. I sucked in math.
She was more Common Core than Space Core. That's what she's saying.
No, I was more science-oriented, but the math just, no, not my forte.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know of any kid, at least any boys, my age when I was little and the Apollo, the Mercury, and the Gemini and the Apollo programs were going on. Every kid I knew, every kid I hung out with thought it'd be the coolest thing in the world to be an astronaut, and I was one of them.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was just, those guys were bigger than life.
Yeah. I mean, Neil Armstrong was like the world's hero when he did walk on the moon, and it's a strange, you know, thing. I have this story, and I don't know if I've mentioned it online before, but Neil Armstrong really was not the first pick.
Right.
And how we knew this is my family knew the man that was supposed to be the first one, and his name was Elliot C., and he was killed in a plane crash.
Right.
On his way to training. And, I mean, my family's been involved in the space program since the beginning, in one way or another.
Well, so, yeah, you look back on it and you think, well, you know, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, not the first two guys that were, you know, not the two guys that were actually first in line, but you look back on it all these years later, they could not have had two better people.
Exactly.
To be the first to walk on the moon. I mean, you look at Buzz Aldrin and his engineering skill. You look at Neil Armstrong, cool under pressure. And you use hindsight and you think, well, you know, what kind of people did they turn out to be? What kind of ambassadors for the space program did they turn out to be for all these years? And obviously we lost Neil Armstrong just a couple of years back, but those two guys turned out to be solid gold.
Absolutely. And it's just the fact that man walked on the moon. It, to me, it's like an amazing first step to the final frontier.
Well, and I still, to this day, you know, at night I'll go out and I'll look up in the sky and I'll see the moon. And the first thing that comes into my mind every time I look at the moon is, we actually had people there.
I know. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, I would personally, I would give up everything if I could be involved in the actual space travel part. Me, who doesn't like to fly, would get on a rocket and a spacecraft in a heartbeat.
I'll tell you,
and the only reason I don't like to fly, guys, is not because I'm afraid of the planes. I used to fly all over the place. But 9/11, I got really scared of who's on those planes.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what. Most, you know, I think in a high 99.999 percentile, the people that are on planes probably are not going to do you any harm. But if you want to get scared of something, go down, hang out at the DMV and see who's getting a driver's license.
Oh, yeah, whoa. That's true.
Jeez, makes people of Walmart look normal. Let's get into tonight's show. The Biden regime has unleashed a new ministry of lies.
Yeah, basically what they're doing is Biden and crew are channeling their inner Hitler and Goebbels and Stalin, because now if you think something, if you say something and say it's information and it goes against their agenda, they can come after you.
Well, and they will come after you because this whole thing is going to be part of the Department of Homeland Security, for God's sake.
There's got to be a way to stop it.
Well, first of all, I think it's unconstitutional.
That's what I would think, because it's a violation of our First Amendment rights.
It's a gross violation of our First Amendment rights. Nina Jankowicz is going to be heading this thing up now. Mayorkas announced this in a House hearing yesterday, and holy crap, the blowback was instant on it, but the White House is defending it.
Yeah, remember, this is the same woman. Her name's Nina Jankowicz. She was a disinformation fellow at the Wilson Center, an advisor to the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry as part of the Fulbright Public Policy Fellowship. Now, she's the one that's been confirmed to be the director of the Department of Homeland Security's new panel on disinformation. But the problem is, she was one of the biggest spewers of disinformation when the Steele dossier came out, and especially with the Hunter Biden laptop.
Now, let's narrow down the meaning of the term here, shall we? I think we have to, because you read, you know, her three-page title. But it starts with what? She was a misinformation fellow.
Disinformation fellow at the Wilson Center.
Okay, she was a disinformation fellow. Now, you think of other professions that are out there, and we'll talk about the proverbial garbage man for a moment. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with being a garbage man. They make good money, by the way.
Right.
But, you know, years and years ago, 20, 30 years ago, it was thought garbage man is such a horrible title to put on somebody. So they started calling them refuse engineers.
Right.
Okay. So a disinformation fellow is just a politically correct way of saying she's a liar.
She's a liar. She's a tattletale. She's a danger.
She's a freaking nut.
Because, well, besides that, she will get to decide what she considers doesn't meet the Democrats' political agenda, and you can be charged with passing what they would then consider to be lies. This is Russia, this is Cuba, this is Venezuela. This is what they do there using different titles, where neighbors rat out neighbors. That's what this is about.
Well, what's going to be the penalty? Let's say you put something out there, they decide it's a lie. Let's say this came about a year ago instead of yesterday. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you put out there that Hunter Biden's laptop contained information that shows that Joe Biden knew all about Hunter's business activities. Let's say you put that out there a year ago. The Ministry of Lies was in place a year ago. They were going to bust you for spreading disinformation. What's the penalty?
I don't really think they have the penalty set yet, but I would assume maybe the first time you'd get a warning, the second time you'd be charged and face possible jail time. And I'm just guessing on that, folks.
So if you put out your opinion and they don't like it, they're going to send you to jail.
Right, and your neighbors can rat you out. Your own family can rat you out. Let's say you have a family where some are Democrats, some are Republicans. Some are pro-life, some are pro-abortion. I mean, you're walking a very dangerous line here.
Yeah,
and
let's see.
It even goes beyond the First Amendment. You are talking about Big Brother watching every move, everything you say, everything you think.
Well, I mean, let's say somebody in your family has common sense and somebody else in your family is a liberal lunatic.
Right.
You know, I mean,
they'll believe the liberal lunatic.
If you say something that goes against the liberal Marxist agenda, you will be labeled a spreader of disinformation, a liar, and you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. And you know the one lie they're going to go right away as the election gets closer in November? All those who believe that Biden didn't win the election honorably.
Right.
In other words, all of us who say the election was stolen from President Trump. And we're right. It was. So what's going to happen to all of us?
Well, I guess we got to wait and find out.
Do you think it's going to shut us up? No.
No. Absolutely not.
These people don't scare me. As weird as that sounds, they don't scare me because I know what they are.
Well, I mean, let's look at this for what it is, okay? Timing is everything. Timing in politics right. is everything. Okay, so this came out yesterday. Mayorkas unleashed this yesterday. Now, it's pretty obvious because, as Diane said, they don't have teeth built into the thing yet. We don't know what the penalties are. They don't know what the penalties are.
Right.
Right? So this mm-hmm. was hastily put together. I guarantee you this was put together the day Elon Musk bought Twitter.
Oh, of course it was. I mean, there's been musings about that. Absolutely. Because Elon Musk wants a free speech platform. He's even welcomed dissenting views because that encompasses free speech. But they can't have it because what Elon Musk did was he knocked the Democrats' basically propaganda machine, which was Twitter, one of their propaganda machines, and he stole it right from under them. But he didn't really steal it. He legitimately bought it in a deal.
Right.
He offered the money. They're greedy. They accepted his money. And now he wants to turn it into a truly free speech platform. What he's doing is sort of backing up our First Amendment, giving us back our First Amendment right to free speech, which the likes of Twitter and Facebook and Google and other venues have taken away from us. Doesn't Zucky throw us in Facebook jail when he doesn't like what we say?
Sure.
Okay, Twitter shuts down our accounts or gives us timeouts as well. Google moves us down in their search engines. I mean, he wants to counter all of that and give us back our First Amendment rights. But when you're dealing with Democrats who don't give a damn about the Constitution anyway, they come at it from a different way. Oh, your lies are making things worse. Well, prove to us what we're saying is a lie. They can't.
Well, and even if we put something out there, even if anybody, it's not just conservatives, if anybody puts something out there and says, I think this is the way it is. Well, that's an opinion. All right. And everybody's entitled to have their own opinion. And because of the First Amendment, we're all entitled to air our opinions. But
that's right.
You look at this thing and you look at the way the liberals are melting down. Let's focus on one key liberal for the moment, Elizabeth Warren. She's calling Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter a situation that is dangerous for democracy.
Well, I guess Miss, Warren must have been out of American history class. You know, she must have been sick. We were all taught we are not a democracy. We are a constitutional representative republic. She missed that day. So nothing Elon Musk did is a danger to democracy, because democracy is basically mob rule. And what Elizabeth Warren is basically jealous of someone she's only a millionaire. He's a billionaire. So she's going after that aspect of him. He made his money. He's entitled to make as much money as he wants. And who the hell is she to say, now, he needs to pay way more taxes, a billionaire taxes. Why should people like Elon Musk, people who have money, basically not in the Elon Musk, range,
there is nobody in that range.
But why should anyone who has worked for their money have to give their money to people too damn lazy to get off their asses and work for it?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's the socialist Marxist way. You penalize success.
Right.
And that's what these billionaire taxes, soaking the rich, is supposed to be. It's a way to penalize success. But, people like Elizabeth Warren, so many other people, the word democracy just kind of flows fast and loose. And you're right, we're not a democracy. We're a representative republic. But, calling the U.S. a democracy is like calling a copying machine a Xerox, whether it's a Ricoh, an HP, a Panasonic, or whatever. But let's say she even used the right term. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt and say, that she said it's a danger to the representative republic. How can free speech be a danger to the representative republic when the representative republic, the air quote democracy, was founded on free speech?
Because Elizabeth Warren and her ilk, her fellow Democrat ilk, do not believe, honor, or accept the Constitution as the word of law. If you don't accept the Constitution, you can twist and bastardize anything in it any way you want to fit your political agenda. And that's exactly what she and the others have done.
Well, I submit it goes deeper than that. I mean, you're certainly right, but I think it goes deeper than that.
Okay.
Not only do they have a healthy hatred towards our Constitution, they know that Twitter is the biggest platform for conversation in the world. Okay. And they also know that if they can't control what is said on Twitter, they can't control the populace. If people are allowed to speak freely, if they're allowed to put up their opinions and post them to social media and engage in discourse, social discourse, the back and forth differing opinions, if people are allowed to do such a thing, the liberals will lose control of the minds of the populace. Right now, Twitter has been the go-to, and that's why you know, you get stopped, you get shut down. Facebook, same thing. Okay, you air an opinion different than the liberal agenda, they're going to shut you down. They're going to throw you in jail. Heck, you know, if you're President Trump, they're going to eliminate your account. They did it to Tucker Carlson. They did it to President Trump. They did it to Dan Bongino.
Right. Mark Levin went back on Twitter now.
Right, and Bongino's back on.
Yeah. Yeah, President Trump, I know he's got Truth Social. I'm a member of Truth Social. But he also needs Twitter. If he's really serious about running again in 2024, don't discount Twitter now because of what they did to you then.
Right.
Take it at the value of who bought it, why he bought it, and how it can also help you. Don't give up Truth Social, but don't turn your back on Twitter either, because Truth Social is going to be basically a conservative Republican platform. There's not going to be very many liberals on it. But on Twitter, you might get more, you will get more liberals trying to counter conservatives and Republicans, which in the same vein could mean we might be able to change some minds.
Well, and that's
social is going to be everybody that thinks like us.
Right. And that's what terrifies these liberals. The idea yeah. that people might go on Twitter telling the truth and other people might change their mind or change their opinion because they see the research and they understand the common sense of the arguments and the debates being made. See, liberals can't have that. And Twitter has been, for a long time, been the go-to for the mainstream media. You notice everything the mainstream media talks about is trending on Twitter. Well, Twitter, now that's going to be gone. That's going to be gone.
Yeah. But you want to know something? Even more important than all of this is you've got, how do I say this? You've got to allow people to give their opinions. Opinions are a dime a dozen. But I think even more important, only for 2022 in November, is going to be the economy. If gas prices don't start coming down soon, if we don't start getting better sources of oil, gas, whatever, what's going to happen when we don't get any of that stuff? How are the truckers going to deliver food? How are goods going to get to stores? That, I think, is going to affect more people, especially on the Democrat side. And they're going to think twice, maybe, about who they're voting for.
Well, and look at what's happened in just the last 24 hours. Okay, we've got the Ministry of Misinformation, or whatever the hell they're calling that thing. Right, connected to
their disinformation board, yes.
Right, Department of Homeland Security. Okay, you've got people like Elizabeth Warren coming out. In fact, or in actuality, I should say, GDP, gross domestic product, dropped yesterday.
Right.
All right, yes. But now see, if Twitter was the old Twitter, if it was the pre-Elon Twitter, all they'd be doing is parroting what Biden said, as though that was the truth, when it's a flat-out lie.
Yeah, yeah. And the economy, I think, in 22, I think that's going to be the driving force behind
right.
the midterm election, because both sides now, not the rank-and-file Democrats in power, but the economists from both sides, we are not in a recession yet, but they're saying we're going to be in one if this continues.
We're heading
rents
straight
are going up. House prices are astronomical. Food prices are going up. Gas has not leveled off. What's going to happen when we run out of all these things?
Yeah, then it's going to be chaos.
Yeah.
Plain and simple, it's going to be chaos.
But one thing. You know, everybody keeps saying, you know, this is all Biden's fault. This is all Biden's fault. Actually, this goes back to Obama and his fundamental change of America, folks.
Yep,
Biden right now is parroting Obama's policies, all of them.
The fundamental transformation.
This is his, folks. Mm-hmm. This is what it is. And Craig and I have been saying this since day one, that it's Obama, Obama, Obama behind it all with Soros's money.
All it
that's,
is.
That's all that's going on here. Biden is the puppet. He's the front man. And that's it.
Folks, we've hit the bottom of the hour. That means we've got one segment to go. But before we get to that, we've got to take a quick break, get a couple of station IDs in. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. And if you miss any part of tonight's show, you go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button. Just like that, you're one of the pod people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to sign up for anything.
Growing by the day.
Yeah, you don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to give us any information. Just click the button.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All you got to do, and we hope you do. Yeah, we're gaining pod people all the time.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice to watch it, you know.
Well, it's fun. We know we're getting out there. We know people are listening to the show and enjoying the shows, and we appreciate mm-hmm. that. Now, I got to mention, President Donald Trump was supposed to be in Nebraska tonight, and that event has been postponed until Sunday.
Weather?
Weather. Bad weather. Nasty bad weather. You know,
are you having snow again in April?
No, this is going to be down just outside of Lincoln, kind of between Lincoln and Omaha. But they've got pouring rain, and they're even in tornado watches down there tonight.
Oh, yeah. So, no, you can't. Yeah.
And this is going to be an outdoor event. You know, so it was announced at about 3:00 Central Time that President Trump would not be there tonight. And then about 10-15 minutes later, it was announced by the Trump team that the whole thing has been rescheduled for Sunday. Now, I know a lot of people that traveled all the way across the state to get down there for this thing tonight. Now, whether or not they're going to be able to stay and be there on Sunday, I don't know, but he'll still have a huge crowd.
I'm sure most of them will stay.
Yeah. So that's coming up on Sunday. And if there's any major news from that, you know, like if he says, you know, since I'm here in Nebraska, I've decided to go ahead and announce I'm running in 24, we'll bring it to you on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to wait until after the midterm. I do. Yeah. But I think he's running. I think he is running.
I think he's going to run too. I just hope he picks Ron DeSantis as his running mate.
You know, can I just say, Ron DeSantis, that guy is hitting every right button there is to hit.
Yes, he is.
I mean, he is firing. Yes, I mean, if he was a 12-cylinder engine, he'd be firing on 16 cylinders right now.
Yes.
It's amazing. Every state should have a Ron DeSantis in the governor's office.
Yep. Kristi Noem comes pretty close. She's my second choice. But DeSantis, no, he would be one hell of a vice president. And if he was vice president under Trump, then he can run on his own for the 8 years. And then, let's say, with Kristi Noem as his vice president, you can have another 8 years, and we could have over 20 years with no Democrats in power.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
You know, Biden earlier today came out and said he's seeking another $33 billion in aid for Ukraine. The situation over there, Diane, is getting worse by the minute. They're bombing Kiev right now.
Yeah, and one person has been killed so far. It's probably going to be more. In fact, what Zelensky said is, it sums it up really well. He said the constant brutal bombardments, the constant Russian strikes on infrastructure and residential areas show that Russia wants to empty this territory of all people. Therefore, the defense of our land, the defense of our people is literally a fight for life. Now, he said that earlier tonight because they're, you know, ahead of our time in his nightly video address to the nation. What Putin is basically doing in the Donbass region, in the south area, he
scorched earth policy.
Scorched earth policy. That's basically what he's doing. And what they want now is to get the remaining thousands. There were thousands of people, guys, in the caverns under Mariupol. And there was food and stuff down there. Apparently, that has always been designated a shelter area. But now they're running out of foods. They're running out of medicines. They need to get the...
over there at all. Right. Putin is in a... I believe, anyway, he's in a desperate situation. He thought this was going to be wrapped up in 3 to 5 days. It's now been over 2 months.
Yeah. No, I still think either the Russian people are going to revolt, his military is eventually going to take him out, or he's going to take his own life when he realizes all is lost. Or, God forbid, he does realize that and says, screw you, world, and presses a button. I would only hope that those around him in his inner circle aren't stupid enough to let him do that.
You know, it's interesting. Every week, every week and a half, Biden's going back to Congress asking for X billion more dollars for aid to Ukraine. We don't really know where a lot of that aid is going.
The Ukrainians have not gotten a lot of it that was promised to them.
Well, hopefully.
So where is it going?
Hopefully some of that's going to get cleared up here starting in about a month. My state senator, Tom Brewer, and folks, you've heard us chat from time to time on this show about State Senator Tom Brewer from Nebraska. He's former U.S. Army. He's highly decorated, couple of Purple Hearts. He's going over to Poland at the very end of May, very beginning of June, to help coordinate not only getting humanitarian aid from Poland into Ukraine, but also coordinating how to get some of this military aid to the Ukrainian soldiers, while also helping to take care of the millions of people from Ukraine who have fled to Poland. Now, he's done this sort of thing before. He's done it overseas, and he did it after Katrina down in New Orleans. So hopefully some of those supply chain issues over there are going to get cleared up right quick.
Maybe he could help answer a lot of questions like, where is all the promised aid?
Yeah, where's all the military stuff? Where's all the armament? Where's all the ammunition? Where's, you know, what's happened to all this stuff? I'd sure like to know.
I'd like to know, and I'm sure President Zelensky would like to know.
Sure, he would.
They're getting more help from Europe. They're getting more help from Germany, Poland, the UK than they are from us, unfortunately.
But
you know, here's... This is an interesting point, Craig. And of all things, it was made by my husband. So that's very interesting. Okay, I have always questioned we need ground troops in Ukraine.
Right.
It doesn't have to be, you know, deliberately sent over. It could be volunteers. We can call for volunteers from our military, and many, many would go. It seems throughout America's history, we don't get involved until we have been attacked. Look at World War One. Look at World War Two. Look at other wars in our history. It's when we're attacked, then we go on the defense. We don't seem to go in because it's just the right thing to do. And this Biden thing, his foul up with Ukraine, is a perfect example of it, followed by his foul up with Afghanistan, pulling us out before the time was right to pull us out. We have to stop becoming a country that only really visually helps unless we've been attacked. We have to go on the defense instead of waiting to attack. There are certain things that you just need to do because they're the right thing to do.
Well,
we should have given Zelensky those planes from day one.
You look at every situation differently. You know, you have to, right? It's one thing when you got two countries that have been at each other's throats and engaged in war for year after year after year, decade after decade. You know, and it's just constant give and take, back and forth, back and forth. You know, in those cases, you can kind of get away with sitting back. But in a case like this, where you've got an innocent country, Ukraine, yes, I know they have a history of corruption. But if you know anything about Ukraine, if you bother to do any research about Zelensky, you can see that Zelensky has been trying to clean up that corruption. He's been trying to clean up Ukraine's swamp the way Trump was trying to clean up the swamp over
here.
When you've got an innocent country like Ukraine, a sovereign nation, okay, free people in Ukraine minding their own damn business, going about their own daily lives, and suddenly a country like Russia comes in and invades them and starts bombing the hell out of them, committing war crimes and atrocities, and yet you sit back and do nothing?
Yeah, and that's basically what's happening. And what it is, everybody is so afraid of, oh, Putin might push the red button, or he might send up a chemical weapon. Well, guess what? We got the nukes, we got the chemical weapons, and we also have something that Putin doesn't have. We have Israel with a workable EMP device.
Right.
Okay, so why are we cowering? Why is NATO cowering in fear of this man? Why don't we call him out? He is setting this war. He's won the war of propaganda because we're cowering in fear. Why don't we call him out? Say, you want to set things? You say we can't do this, this, and this? Well, guess what? You can't do this, that, and the other thing.
Why
are we laying down to him?
He's literally holding the rest of the world hostage. He's dictating the terms of the war. And it shouldn't be that way. In this case, it absolutely should not be that way.
That's what I've been saying in a number of op-eds I've written. He right. is dictating the war. That's not how a war is fought, where one side dictates another. You know what? You don't want war? Don't go to war. Putin wanted war. What he's trying to do is take back all the satellites he lost to Reagan when the Soviet Union lost the Cold War. You know, we always used to think he wants to rebuild Mother Russia. Yeah, he does. But he wants to build it on his terms with a healthy dose now of Soviet Union thrown in. And also, he's winning with his terror threats. He might not be winning battles now, but we're not doing a damn thing really to help the Ukrainian people. They're fighters. Give them the damn planes already.
Give them the planes. Give them some missiles. Give them some stuff that they can use to go on the offensive.
Right. And you know what? Another thing, Craig? Those people in our country that you find on social media who are siding with Putin over the sovereign nation of Ukraine and their duly elected president, most of them don't understand that the corruption happened in Ukraine under Obama's pick for president over in Ukraine. Remember that? Right. The Soros-backed guy?
Right, right.
Okay, it didn't happen under Zelensky. Like Craig said, he is just trying to clean up the previous administration. And then you got, you know, the payouts to keep the silence of them, you know, because they could give away Biden, they can give away Putin, they can do this, that, whatever. We need to grow a backbone. You know, our military, Biden made them woke. Well, guess what? They have to waken up now to the truth.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned it just a few minutes ago. You know, what about sending volunteers, you know?
Right.
Our military volunteers, veteran volunteers, well, one of them did go over there. One of them was in Ukraine, helping the Ukrainian fighting forces, a former U.S. Marine. And I know there's no such thing as a former Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. A retired Marine, let's put it that way. Willie Joseph Cancel was over there, right. And he gave the ultimate sacrifice in trying to help the Ukrainian people.
Right. 22 years old. He married, had a baby, 7 months old, and he was working, he was contracted with a private military firm, and he agreed to travel to Ukraine and fight against the Russian troops. And his family is, yeah, they're devastated. They lost their son and their husband and their father, but they are so proud of what he did, fighting for the right cause. An American willing to risk his life to do what he was trained to do as a Marine.
Well, and being able to discern what's right and what's wrong and go over there, exactly. And take up for what's right.
Right. Well, what I was going to say before we brought his name in is that these people on social media that are sticking up for Putin, they don't understand, like I said, the corruption did not happen under Zelensky. It happened under the previous administration over there. And number two, do you really understand who you're sticking up for? I think these people are caught up in the Soviet Union mystique and oh, that Vladimir Putin, no, he's a good guy. He just wants countries that are his own back. Well, guess what? They're not his own anymore and haven't been for decades. They've been independent nations. He went in having no justification in Ukraine. Ukraine did not attack him. He attacked Ukraine. And the people that say these things, they are the most vile lately of the sorts on Facebook, on MeWe, on Twitter, etc. Against those who stick up for Ukraine. They're even bringing in the anti-Semitism end because Zelensky's a Jew. And he's a Nazi. Well, please tell me how a man who whose half of his family was wiped out by Nazis. Please, tell me how he's a Nazi.
Well, they don't have to have any justification for it, Diane. All they have to do is level the allegations. That's the liberal way.
And that's their truth. That's their truth. You know what the bottom line is, Craig? Putin has to go. He has to go, no matter which way you twist it. But the way he needs to go, the best way would be another Russian revolution.
Right. If the people rise up and seize control of Russia, thus throwing him out on his ass, or take him and then turn him over to The Hague for war crimes, you know.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. It's going to take that to make this happen. And look, of what use is the useless nations? You call them the useless nations. I call them the United Nations of thugs, thieves, and despots. They're sitting around on their thumbs doing nothing.
Right. Right. And these people defend that. I just don't get it. And they call themselves Republicans or conservatives?
Yeah, that's bull.
I never thought, you know, when I think of Republicans, okay, you got Jordan, you got Brian Mast, you had Alan West when he was in Congress. You have so many Republicans that were military that are like beside themselves that we're not over there, that we're not doing more for these people. You know, things we should be doing. How is Biden sitting back? Well, we know why, because he's afraid of what Putin will put out about him and his darling son.
Well, sure.
But the bottom line is, Putin's got to go, folks.
I mean, you look
because
at the way...
Because this man is bordering on psychotic now.
You look at the way the situation is lining up over there. And like I said before, every few weeks, every couple of weeks, we need another $30 billion, we need another $50 billion, you know, and you can pretty well time that with anything that's coming out about Hunter's laptop, or you can pretty well combine that with anything that's coming out from the Durham report. You know, you can just kind of look at the timing. Timing is always suspicious when politics are involved.
Yes.
And you can see what they're doing. They're trying to deflect, trying to make you look at the shiny object right now, which is Ukraine. Like, I can understand not wanting to send active military boots on the ground. I get that. Okay. But there are a lot of ways around that. Those planes, for instance, from Poland, those could have been given to Ukraine. That would not have put us on the ground there. You know, and if you're worried about pissing Putin off, you need to understand something very basic. That guy is already an inflamed hemorrhoid on the buttocks of the planet. That guy is about as irritated as he can possibly be already. You can't make him irritated. He's already pissed the bejesus.
Well, not only that, on another note, I remember that something President Trump said. He said this was not the Vladimir Putin that he dealt with as president.
Right.
And I believe him, because I have watched Putin over these past 2 months. There's something physically wrong with him as well. Not to the degree of Biden, but I think if you look at his face, if you look at his whole countenance, it's changed.
Right.
And there's some musings out of Russia, especially from some of the oligarchs who are staying in the West. Some of them believe he might have had a series of mini strokes.
Well, and I said about a month and a half ago on this very program on Right Side Patriots, he looks puffy. He doesn't look like you normally think he would look. And now there's been comments made that he's a little wobbly at times, a little unsteady at times, you know, and that's never been part of his countenance, if you will. So we don't know what's going on there.
No, and the funny thing is, at the next summit, which is going to be, I think, isn't it Tahiti, I believe, or one of those – nice islands in the Pacific. Both Zelensky and Putin have said they're going to be there. Can you imagine the security and the chances that both men are taking going there?
It's huge.
It's huge.
Huge.
It kind of doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But also, we need to say, with this former Marine of ours, an American has now been killed. Have you heard one damn word from Biden?
Nope. And you won't.
No.
You know, if he says anything, it'll be too little, too late.
That alone says we need a presence there.
Yep.
Seriously.
I agree. Well, listen, Diane, we've only got a couple of minutes left. What do you say we wrap it up early tonight?
Okay. Your pill's wearing off.
Yeah, it kind of is, and I need to either take another pill or just close my eyes for a while.
Yeah, you should put an ice pack or something on that eye.
I think I will.
Ah, good. Okay.
I think I will. What do you say? Shall we wrap?
I say we should wrap, and we'll see you guys on Tuesday with our space specials.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll catch up with you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.